Agencies soon have new requirements to make custom-developed source code open for sharing across government. The goal is to whittle down some of the 42,000 transactions and the $6 billion agencies spend annually on software. The new policy from the Office of Management and Budget will change a few things for agencies in IT, but maybe more so for those in acquisition. Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco joins me now to explain what agencies and industry are about to see. And so here we are getting close to the end of the administration, Nicole, and it seems like a new initiative being launched with just months to go. Tell us more about this memo.
Well, it's the third policy memo from the Office of Management and Budget in 2 weeks. We got one on data center consolidation, we had another on mobile, and we now have this one on open source software. And the sense here is that OMB is really trying to push out a lot of stuff before this administration ends, and we're likely to see a lot more over the next few months. But essentially, this says that any agency that buys custom-developed code must be able to share it with other federal agencies to either just access or to use for themselves in their own purpose. It also establishes a new pilot program. So every year, agencies have to make 20% of custom-developed code as open source software for the next 3 years. And agencies are responsible for collecting data on what that code does and then create metrics to measure its performance. Also, OMB is launching code.gov as a part of all of this within the next 3 months. The idea here is it's supposed to give agencies more tools and then best practices to help them actually implement this policy. And eventually, it will also be an inventory of all of agencies' open and accessible code. That was something that industry had complained about in the past. Now, it emphasizes that agencies should look at existing code from either agencies who already have something similar or just commercial options before buying a custom solution. So again, the emphasis on look around and see what's already out there before you go out and buy something. And it outlines a three-step process for making all of those decisions. And another key point here is that agencies need to build in the value of publishing new custom code as open source, potentially for everybody else to use, as something that will now be in contracts from now on.
Well, the commercial mandate has been in place for many, many years, and that's why there are very few coders left working for the government, except for maybe 18F. So the question is, will this memo really change how much software agencies are actually buying?
It's unclear, and that's industry sense here. Again, you know, there are 42,000 transactions a year and $6 billion. That's a lot. Pamela Walker is the Senior Director for Federal Public Sector Technology at the IT Alliance for Public Sector, or ITAPS. She tells me that it's unclear what this policy will have for industry, because right now they really don't know what agencies already have and what they haven't developed yet.
It could go either way, because the agencies are going to have to build an inventory. Right now, people don't have an inventory of really what's out there. And so once they get that inventory to see who's using what, there could be a cutback on considering purchasing, you know, code from industry if something's available for their use. And so that's something to be seen.
That's Pam Walker of ITAPS. She says that the inventory that agencies are supposed to be a part of eventually on code.gov, that should maybe help give industry a better idea of what's out there.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco. I guess if agencies wanted to really be ornery, they could put out for public use or into the open source 30-year-old COBOL code, which no one would want or care about. But
right. Well, actually, there is a point in the policy that says you don't have to go back to the things that you've already created and make them open source, but we suggest it if you would like. But again, I don't think anyone's going to want to go back to that.
Now, industry, people I've talked to that represent industry are not real thrilled about this. What are some of the reactions you have gotten?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now, again, because the policy just came out and, you know, we heard sort of a wait and see mentality from ITAPS, but they were one of several members of industry that left comments on OMB's draft version of this policy, and that draft came out in April. And Walker says from ITAP's perspective, OMB actually did incorporate a lot of industry feedback in this new version. For example, she says that a lot of ITAP's members say they were concerned that agencies were mentioning specific brands or types of code in their request for proposal. They were not thrilled with that, and OMB discouraged that practice in the memo. It's also just a little bit more clear about what all of this means. Here's Walker.
We also had asked them to come up with a better definition, that they needed some definitions around custom code, exactly what that is, because we're asking a lot of questions around that, you know, addressing mixed source software, open source. And so they did go in to try to explain their definition so industry could understand what is meant by custom developed code. And so right now with our membership, what we're doing is, you know, looking at all of the details to see if this is still something that industry can support and as industry, you know, is satisfied with what's come out.
And finally, industry was also concerned about agencies actually measuring whether the code that they had just built was working, and OMB added a requirement for performance metrics as well.
So you have a situation where federal agencies are supposed to buy commercial software, maybe adapt it, or they might be buying software as a service where you don't take possession of the code at all. But this is really addressed at code they buy as we're coding as a service. So they buy code from custom companies. Is it really $6 billion worth of that? That seems like a high number to me.
That's what federal CIO Tony Scott mentioned in his description of what this policy was. So, you know, I guess if that's their tally on what agencies are spending a year, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of money.
And so what do agencies have to do next? What's the very next thing they have to do? As you mentioned, they're trying to get these things done by the end of the administration.
OMB has said that they want to get these policies out as sort of a foundation for what they'll have to do in future months. Again, we mentioned that code.gov is about 90 days away from being implemented here. So I think there's still a little bit of time before they have to immediately jump on board. And I think for right now, what agencies will have to do is look what they already have and make sure they implement that three-step process for making decisions about code in the future.
Does the memo say anything about the contracting arrangements and licensing arrangements that agencies would have to have? Because when you order custom code, that intellectual property, who owns it, is something you've got to determine ahead of time with the contractor.
It does. The policy has a series of steps that were pretty complicated that describe how agencies will have to build that value of the code potentially being used government-wide into their contracts. And I think that'll be the key thing for the acquisition folks moving forward as they try to put this policy into place.
Because there are some very old cases going back 30, 35 years that I think might even still be litigated, where the government took code that it had acquired and used it in other agencies and kept getting copied. And the original creators said, wait, you can't do that. And it's been to the Supreme Court. Its fortunes have been spent on some of those old cases. So nothing ever completely new, but maybe a new version of something, and they'll get it right this time.
Right. And, you know, these cases that you just described, Tom, are a little bit different from the situation where 18F develops something and puts it out there as open source and then calls it a day. That's pretty simple. But this addresses something that's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, with the vendors. Federal News Radio's Nicole Ogrisco, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can read her coverage and also share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.